Praise you, Lord. If you have any problem or any pain today, you need to praise the Lord.
Yes.
Yes. You need to praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice now. Praise you, Jesus. Take all problems away by praising the one that's the life, the truth, the way. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Jesus. Jesus, praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. The best statement in that song is when you find yourself a prisoner in your own mind. Because we know the truth, the life, and the way. There is no prison for us.
Amen.
So that break those prison chains now by praising. Yes. Praise you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. You are the life, the truth, the way. We magnify you this morning, Lord. You are the King of kings and you are the Lord of lords. There is no word. There is no name that's above yours. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We walk in perfect peace and contentment at this moment because we seek and praise you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. No power above yours. And your power works in me for righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. As we stand in your presence this moment, Lord, we give ourselves to you afresh and anew. We open our doors of our hearts and of this body so that you minister and you change and you heal and you adjust the eyesight and you fix the hearing. You make us think like we're supposed to think instead of the ways we've been thinking. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We are desperate to hear from you today. We give ourselves to hearing. We give ourselves to speaking your word and believing most of all. Praise you, Lord. We will not leave without you, Lord, and we will not leave changed until we are changed. We will not leave until we are changed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Everybody that agrees with that says amen.
Amen.
All right, please be seated. All right, we're going to be in a quit mode today. Not because of the game. Not because of the game. They can wait on us. But because I believe that God has a lot to say this morning, and we need to get started in the hearing process. Amen? All right. Father, we give unto you not as a blind gift, but we give with knowledge and understanding, knowing that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you give back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We will never give that promise up because it would be to give a piece of you up. We don't want to do that. So now we give with the expectation of your kingdom growing, us growing financially, spiritually, physically. And we give because we know it's your will and we desire to please you. Let us give with that promise in mind, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, are you ready to receive from God this morning? All right, well, get your Bibles ready. And once again, I reiterate the thanks that Connie gave. I say it again, or agree with it. And we're also very thankful that you progressed while we were gone. That's very encouraging to us. Very encouraging. Many things were seen and still can be seen. And for that, I thank you. God thanks you. All righty. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I've got at least two titles again this morning, but I'll call the one that I would like the tape title by. My first one is Speak the Obvious. The title I would like on the CD is that we are the final victors in the playoffs.
Amen.
We are the final victors in the playoffs. I got to thinking about this morning how the football teams get to the Super Bowl. And it is through challenges. Would you call that confrontations? Would you call it confrontation?
Absolutely.
Button heads. If I was on the farm, that's what I'd call it. Outrunning and outwitting the other guy.
Right.
You can title it any way you want. I mean, you can put those visuals in a lot of different ways, but the bottom line is we are the people of God.
Man.
And we've, as many cliches are spoken, we have read the back of the book. That means that we are the winners.
That's right.
We never have to worry about being knocked out of the playoffs. Now, that's an encouraging word, not a discouraging word. We are never worried about getting knocked out of the playoffs because we have to go to the we have to win the Super Bowl. Right? So we can't get beat in the playoffs. Now, I could give a flip about the Broncos, even though I'm going to watch the game. I'm not talking about football here. I'm talking about life ball.
Amen.
I'm talking about the spiritual things. Now, we have a sure victory. One. Okay. See, if you don't agree with the truth, then you agree with a lie. I wish Americans could stand up and start believing that and knowing that. I wish Christians could base their life on it. If you don't agree with the truth, you agree with a lie. Okay. So we're working our way in sure victories to a sure victory.
That's right.
Right? Recently, Tanya called Connie and I to one side and said God had told her that we were going to, we had a surety of receiving blessings far beyond anything that we would ever planned on. Is that what you said? And I believed her.
I said that, that it, things that had been held.
That was the other part. That, yeah. As far as I was concerned, she said two parts. And that's the way it works sometimes. But she said we were going to receive blessings beyond what we expected, and those things that had been stolen were going to be returned.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Now, the reason I didn't say, huh, is because I know that she'd been seeking God. You listen to people that seek God. You discount people that are talking out of the news media or out of the side of their face.
Yeah.
Don't even pay any attention to them. When you know somebody's seeking God, then you can now you can listen to them. We not only believed it because she said God said it. We already knew that God said it by the Scripture. But everything needs to be established out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Right? That's another message I'll get back to. In Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, and you guys have been there before, so Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think."
Hallelujah.
Okay. How? According to the power that works in us. Now here's the power that works in you. The power to choose life or death, blessings or curses, agree or disagree. None of us have what is portrayed in some circles of this miraculous power of touch, our power of prophecy, our power of preaching and teaching. That's not what we need. We need the power to agree with the power.
Amen.
We don't teach well unless we agree with the well teacher.
That's right.
Amen. Right?
Right.
I'm not discounting signs and wonders. Please, you know better than that. But I am saying that first things first. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that works in us, we must let that power work, and many times that takes our mouth. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and forever. Amen. So it's not for that generation. Where? Moses? Abraham? No, it says to all generations. So those people that want to discount things with history, they haven't read their history. The history says we have a great future, so I believe that.
Yeah.
In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen." Why are you reading me those scriptures, Stan? It is because the only way that I can receive from God is to believe from God before I receive from God.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
I've said it to you before. The bumper sticker that says, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it," is partially right. It is right for you, it is just not right. When God says it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not, right? Okay, here's the rule for you. It will work in you when you believe it for you. Does that make sense? Okay, praise God. Faith is. The faith is means that I have what I believed I have when I believe that I have it. Faith is means I have what I believe that I have when I believe that I have it.
Yes.
Not when I have it.
That's right.
I'll have it when I believe that I have it.
Yes.
Now, the negative part of that is that applies to words such as migraine, headache, such as cancer, such as tumor, such as diabetes, such as anything, poverty, such as anything that discourages us from our faith. If it steals from us, it is not faith. It's anti-faith. There's a Christ that provides, and there's an anti-Christ that steals. All right? We've been thanking God every day for that word that came to us. Why? Because that's the only way I'm going to get it. I'm not going to get it because she said it. I'm sure she's nice, and I'm sure that she'd just be excited to hand me all of her money to make me blessed, to back up her word. You know why that I don't want her to do that? Because I'm not interested in her word. I'm interested in the word of God. That way she gets blessed, and so do I. Amen? Now, as everybody here knows, we left for a few weeks for what we considered a God-ordained trip. And anybody that's operating their right minds knows that you just can't go off for a month at a time and have your business maintained and the church maintained and your friendships maintained and your household maintained. Is that correct?
That's right.
All right. But we did it anyway, even though it's not financially feasible. Y'all do know what financially feasible means.
Yeah, well,
I don't have to explain that. That is what too much we operate in. Faith is what we should operate in. Instead, we look at other things. We believe that the trip was ordered by God, so therefore we must believe that He would provide.
Amen.
As we were preparing for the trip, a check came to us for $1,000 out of the blue. It was from an uncle. He's never done it before. I don't understand. He didn't tie anything to it. But it was $1,000. Hey, that pays for the trip. Right? So we praise God about that. We went off. Last Friday, as we were working in the office, we found out that we were out of money. Now, do y'all know what it means to be out of money?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It was totally unexpected, just as the blessing before was totally unexpected. This was unexpected. We began to scramble to find the problem, and we found out that our on-the-road bookkeeping was a little haphazard. Y'all understand that? If you pay things by phone and you try to log in by pencil on the road, sometimes things get mixed up.
Yeah, that's right.
And we really were. Now, what does really were mean? That means by all evidence, we didn't have any money. And yet there were still miles to go. Right? Now, what happens in that process? Well, what most of us would begin to think is, what am I going to do? Most of us would start there. What am I going to do? Now, let's be honest with each other and say that. That is not a bad thing. That's just what's going to happen. Now, it's the next words are the actions that we need to worry about.
Amen.
And I started seeing her come unglued. Connie doesn't yell and scream. She knows that wouldn't do any good. She doesn't cry. She knows that won't do any good. Because I'm going to get mad at either one of them. You understand? Panic, it doesn't make any difference if it's tears or if it's typical panic. It doesn't do any good. She got her nose. I saw her hunker down and getting into that desk, and I knew what was happening. She's beginning to check those records again, finding out where we're going to get the money to pay bills that are out, checks that are outstanding. Now, we don't have a lot of them, but it doesn't take a lot, does it? As I saw her begin to take on the situation, I began to praise. I began to thank God that He knew. I'm telling you again, if we can learn to say God knows, then He'll fill in what He knows. He'll fill in the blank. And we'll find out that there's nothing left after God knows. And I began to praise Him. And a peace came on me like that. I went on into my desk. I had a project that I had to finish out there. It had nothing to do with looking for money. It had to do with preparing for income, business that was coming. Because I already knew that God knew, then I already know the victory.
Amen.
Okay, as long as we keep on that. No need to worry. No need to fret. We've already won this playoff.
Amen.
We've already won this playoff game. This is not my final step into the streets of gold. This is just the playoff game. And it's already been decided. That's the coolest part. If I can get it across to you. The games we play have already been decided.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes.
Connie hustled around there. I'm in there working, and she brings a check for me to sign that she was going to tap into a contingency fund that we don't have any business tapping into. Because this isn't even a contingency. This is a game that's already won.
Nice.
Come on.
Yeah.
Am I against it? No. God's provided it all anyway. She's going to take this to the bank and get that in and make sure there's no problems. As she decided to leave for the bank, to drive out, we hadn't been getting any mail, but I think this was the first day we were going to get mail at our mailbox. We told them to bring it on. She goes out. Here she comes back in the office. She don't come in the house door. She comes in the office door. That's significant. You know that, don't you? And she's holding a check. And I thought, what, I didn't sign it right or whatever. And she holds it over to me, and the check was for $7,200.
$7,200. Thank you, Lord.
Unexpected, unearned, truly comes under the auspices of unearned income. Never happened before. Will begin to happen every day from this point forward.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
It was from an oil and gas lease that had never paid us. Ever. Ever. We did no work for it. We inherited the lease from my mom. And she never got a $60 check in her life per month. And here's a $7,200. And it's not even the ones that have begun to drill. It's old ones.
Wow.
Old ones. Now, we had a little spell. Thank you, Lord. But I want you to understand something. We did not work for that.
Right.
Now, if I worked for it, I deserve it, right?
Right?
It could not be far beyond anything that I should expect.
That's right.
It should be within my expectations.
Yes. Right.
This is far beyond. It's not far beyond God's expectations, right. Just mine. Now, that'll keep us through next month. We're going to need another one at the end of next month. Right?
Yeah.
Our expenses are not low. They're high. They're high. This is God's way because it's based on God's word.
Yeah.
I want to remind you again, you will never get anywhere with curses. You will only overcome with blessing, with praises.
That's right.
Blessing God. Praises. It brings your victories faster than anything you can do. Is to get a hold of that old ugly, lousy mouth flesh and squeeze some praise out of it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Come on.
Now, I'm telling you the truth, and I'm also telling you a testimony.
Amen.
Not one, two. Praise right in a row, and I got a lot more, and you can too. You have testimonies, even while we were gone, that things have happened, that your heart agrees with what I'm telling you. The only thing that can steal those unearned incomes that God wants us to have. Unearned income can apply to your health. It can apply to your children, your future in every way, your friends, and your body, your mind, your emotions, your will.
That's right.
We think we have to work those things out, when in reality, the work that we have to do is to praise.
That's right.
Thank Him for the victory we know that He's already accomplished for us. That's what praise is about.
Yeah. That's
right? The only thing that can stop this is unbelief.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
What is the outflow of unbelief? Fear.
That's right.
Jesus taught that from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When we become afraid, worried, that is an outflow of unbelief.
Right.
The outflow of faith is praise.
Yeah.
Because faith is evidence of what we already know has happened before we see it. Right?
Amen.
All right. So the evidence that I know that I'm saved is I give God praise for that.
Yes.
The evidence that I know that I'm healed, in other words, the evidence of healing is that I praise God for my healing.
Good.
We want the picture painted the other way. That's what's always given to us. Give God praise before it happens. No, no, no. You already know it happened.
That's right.
You're giving praise because you already know. You're just waiting for somebody else to see because you've already seen it. You've seen it in your faith.
Come on.
Now, I want to talk about that just a little bit this morning. We're probably going to finish early. That would be something to write down. Before I saw the results, I spoke of the expected results. I didn't have to call out $7,200. In fact, if it had been left up to my little peanut brain, I'd have probably called out a lot less. Now, listen, listen. Don't come on. If you need 1,000, you don't ask for 7,200. So if we're wise in the Spirit, why don't we call out 1,000,000 instead of 7,200?
Amen.
Amen.
You think it's going to bankrupt God?
No, sir.
I don't think so. I don't think so. If I don't have an ability, and I know that I don't have ability, then I speak out the praise for the ability that I know that God has for me until I see it.
Amen.
He already has it. Here it is. Here's the package. Right?
Yeah.
All right. In Jeremiah chapter 29:11, you know what that scripture is.
Yeah.
And I really do have a plan here. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 14, I want you to read it with me. The reason I want you to read it with me is so that it'll be harder for you to forget next time.
Amen.
God says this, and I'm going to read it unusually out of the NIV instead of the New King James if you want to know if you think I'm lost. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Amen.
Not declares Tanya, Stan, Connie. Declares the Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, anybody in here believe the Lord?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Then there's no question that this is true and he means what he says.
All right.
I know the plans I have for you. You know why he has to say that? Because we keep telling him there's other plans. So his response to us is, shut up. I know what I think about you.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
Plans to prosper you.
Hallelujah.
Plans not to harm you.
Yeah.
Plans to give you hope and a future.
Yeah.
Now, how much hope and future is in loss?
None.
I've never gotten excited about a loss. I asked Chuck the other day, I said, how much can you afford to lose? Oh, $10,000. I said, not a penny. Listen to me, I don't care how much you got in the bank. God doesn't want you to lose a penny. I read it right here. I read it right here. So by faith, he needs to answer me, not a penny. I only walk in profit, never in loss.
Amen.
Verse 12. When you understand this, I've told you this before. I'm going to preface this with this scripture. When you understand this, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. I'm telling you, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. I'm not going to believe a word you say, but I'm going to talk to you. Would you be in a good mood to talk to me? That's how we approach God a lot of times.
Right.
We pray to him, talk to him, confess our problems, and we don't believe he's going to do anything. That's what this scripture is saying. When you finally get over that nonsense, let me know and I'll talk to you and I'll listen to you. Because then I know you'll listen to me.
Right.
Verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. What's all your heart mean? That means you don't have that doubt and unbelief mixed in. God will listen to every word and take care of every problem. When we believe, he listens to every word and takes care of every problem.
Yeah.
Okay. 14. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. And the rest of that is wherever it is. What that means is no matter how big you think the problem is. Let me say it another way. No matter how much you think you've screwed up the thing, I'll bring you back from there. See, when we ran across this malfunction in the finance or the record keeping, nobody said, that's a lie. That's foolishness. The evidence was there. But the lie is, the lie to the end of the lie is, and that's all we can do about it. Don't ever let a lie, don't ever let a truth that's not profitable stand. Strike it down with the truth that's profitable. Now, I'm using the word prophet in all aspects of our lives, whether I'm feeling down between the ears or whether I'm actually have a physical problem or there's not enough money to cover bills or whatever. It doesn't make any difference whatever it is. God says, I will bring you back from captivity no matter what that captivity is. If you're not free, you're captive. All that's required is you seek Him with all your heart and you listen in faith. That's a lot easier said than done. So keep saying amen anyway. Now, are we fully convinced of the outcome of this truth?
Yes.
See, I think one of the places that we miss it is we read a word and it excites us, but we don't become fully convinced of the outcome of the truth.
Super Bowl.
See, that's not an option, is it? No. When God says you are Super Bowl winners, then you must win the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Because it's His word.
That's
right. Right? And when he does a covenant like this, seek me, and I will hear you, and by the way, you will hear me,
yeah.
Then what we began to hear are blessings,
yeah.
Power, authority, success. Now, we have to deal with all the nonsense of the flesh still. But we learn to deal with, the way we deal with it is by praising God for what we already know.
Right.
Not what is trying to be interjected in our mind at that moment.
Right.
What the devil wanted us to believe is you're losers. Boom. He wanted Connie to believe that she screwed up and caused great trouble. And yet, my Bible says right here, I will bring you back from all captivity. So that captivity that tries to control the mind, don't deny that it's not there. Curses to death through praise.
Amen.
That's what curses. Is what curses captivity is praise.
Yep.
We just sang it. When you find yourself in chains, captive in jail in your own mind, break the chains, defy the chains. How do you defy the chains?
Praise.
Based on what? What I want or what God has said?
God.
See, this is where the church fouls up. They begin to praise God on what they want instead of basing it on what God has said.
Yeah.
So I learned a long time ago, I just, in evidence this time, I wanted those bills to be taken care of. God wanted them to be taken care of in abundance.
Yeah.
Come on.
Now, which is better to praise about?
Abundance.
Oh, I got a sore toe. God healed my sore toe. God wants to heal the whole sore toe.
Yeah.
From top to bottom. He doesn't want to fool around with your toe.
That's right. Amen.
Since when did he become a toe man? God is good. He's good in His plans. It was perfect. His plans were perfect. His plan for you is perfect. All we have to do is praise Him for the perfect plan. Not for getting me out of captivity. That's part of the perfect plan. Genesis chapter 1. You don't have to. That's in the front of the book, by the way. Genesis chapter 1. It's the easiest place to find. You know that? Actually, maybe Revelation is. There's not quite so many junk, much junk in the front, in the back as there is in the front. On our trip to the first trip to Tennessee, I stopped in to. Well, actually, Connie wanted to shop, if you can believe that or not. But there was a Bible bookstore there. And so I kind of slipped next door while she was doing whatever she was doing. And there was a Bible a lot like this. Bigger print, New King James, nice for carrying. Not as fat as that, which really amazed me. Which just means there was not a lot of stuff put in there by man. And I thought, that would be the kind of Bible I'd like to carry. And I walked in there and it's 50% off. Thank you, Lord. That's good. And the lady said, would you like your name right there? What was it, $5 or whatever it was? Sure, put my name there. That way I don't lose it. Well, when she stamped that in gold, she made a mistake. And I think it says S-T-A-U instead of S-T-A-N. And the way this is written, you can't hardly tell the difference. You know, the way people write. She came, oh, man, this is bad. This is bad. I'll find you another one. All right. When she came back, she said, I'll have another one. So how about one of these others? I said, no, this is the one I wanted. I don't want that one. That's a different, you know, version or whatever, different size, different print. You know, I'm pretty particular about the print in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Big print fouls me up. Little print I have to work at. And I find it harder to read large print than small print. She said, I'll tell you what I'll do. 50% off the 50%? The Bible turned out costing me a few bucks. Instead of the 70 or whatever that's posted on the box. It just cost me very little. I can't even remember if it's 50 or 50, but it may have been less than that. She said, does that offend you? I said, no, I don't care what that says. I went for what's on the inside, you know? God blesses us in little things, and then every once in a while, He'll slap us a big check. And I think He's more interested in the big checks than the little things.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Which would you think would be a better blessing? For me to be able to pay 100% and not even feel it, or to thank Him for 50 off of 50 off of 50?
100%.
That's exactly right. That's what God wants us to do. Not that there's anything wrong with being frugal. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we need to be able to buy what we need when we need it.
Amen.
And pay cash for it. That would be a blessing from God. And then every once in a while, and I guarantee you this will happen, He'll give you money that you don't deserve. He'll give you a healing you don't deserve. He'll give you revelation knowledge that you don't deserve. He'll wake you up in the night and just throw your socks off. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. This has become very important to me this week. Then God saw everything that He had made.
That's right.
And indeed, it was very good.
Amen.
Now, do you understand this was not by somebody else's opinion? Mm-hmm. This was by God, Amen. The perfect one, saying, this is good.
Yeah.
Now, get that down. Don't let that slip by. God, the perfect one, said that what He did, what He made, everything, was good. Yeah. Not just good, very good.
Yeah.
Did God make you?
Yeah.
Okay. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were
finished.
Now, do you want me to understand why? I mean, do you understand why I'm emphasizing that word finished? It's because to this day it's still good. It didn't say it's completed for the moment. Now, come on, I know good and well the enemy's visited you at least 10 times in the last week and told you how bad you were.
He's a liar.
You have God's word to say that it was good, very good, and finished.
That's right.
The enemy has told you over and over that many of your ways or many of the things that have happened to you, they're bad. And yet God says the things that I made were very good and it's finished.
Amen.
You see, your faith needs to start somewhere. If it can't start anywhere else, let it start there.
A
Genesis is the beginning.
Right.
And on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart, because in it He rested from all His work, which He had created and made.
Amen.
Then in the later scripture, does He tell you that you're supposed to enter into His rest? You know, part of that rest is that you understand that you are very good.
And it's finished.
And nothing from this point forward is ever going to make you very bad.
That's right.
Come on. Come on. This goofy football that we're getting into real hard right now. All you care about is the final score. I don't know why we get so excited about everything in between. It makes no difference. Because your highs and lows, they'll just be spiked every minute. You never know where they're going to win or they're going to lose. So you up, now you're high, now you're low, now you're high. With God, you already have the report that it's very good and it's finished.
Right.
So you ought to know the outcome.
Amen.
Right?
Right?
So our excitement level just stays the same all the time. Not low, high, because we're very good and finished.
Amen.
That means my life is very good and finished.
Yes.
Come on. I'm a finished product. I've been told all my life I was an unfinished product. Hey, Tanya, we are finished products. I am spit polished by God Himself, who is very, very particular.
Thank you,
Come on.
And I won't believe that until I say that. Because if I'm waiting for somebody else to say that, I may wait a while. Verse 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth that were created. For anybody that tells you about the theory of evolution, then you can refer to Genesis 2:4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
It's finished.
Yep.
So in your mind, you will never ever consider again that some goofy animal's been around 20 million years.
Right?
That's right. All right. If it has, it was God's plan. It didn't evolve.
Right. Amen.
I saw on television the other day, this is a little side note, that the biggest animal ever recorded on the face of the earth was located, guess where?
Colorado.
Texas. What are you talking about? Colorado.
At one point, Colorado was part of Texas territory.
Yeah, that is true. Now, that's funny, but the historically important point is that they found a lot of other prehistoric animals living in the same place at the same time together. So evolution goes down the tube. These things that the theorists, they're not scientists, the theorists are trying to teach us is that this animal evolved to this and this evolved to that over millions of years. And what they've proven beyond a shadow of a doubt is they were all there at the same time.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? We pass those little bitty things up, not knowing that they prove God and disprove theorists. Sidebar. Okay. What we've been practicing, because we've been persuaded, is that we are supposed to believe things that are momentary. Richard, can you see?
Yes, sir.
Momentary? Or you know beyond a shadow of a doubt?
I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep, we agree.
See, if I were the normal person, then if I laid in bed and the lights were off and I couldn't see anything, I'd call myself blind.
Yep.
But I have this knowledge that I can turn a light switch on and I can see.
Amen.
Well, why don't we turn the light switches on?
Amen.
Why don't we start seeing by faith instead of by those momentary impulses?
Yes. Yes,
mm-hmm. I walk in an eternal knowledge and an eternal surety given by a God that cannot lie.
That's right.
Not by a weatherman that's 70% wrong.
Amen.
Not by a doctor that's still practicing.
That's right.
I mean, I got it made. I don't know if you know that or not, but we have it made. That's right. There is no other team. You see, if you want to know the truth, there isn't but one team on this football field, and it's ours.
That's right.
Because the enemy's already been defeated.
That's right.
Those are good games.
Yep. Amen.
Those are good games.
Shut out.
Luke chapter 18, verse 40. All of these are going to be familiar, I think. Well, this one I'll change a little bit for you. Luke chapter 18, verse 40. We won't be seriously early. Well, God's the only man that can't lie.
That's right.
Okay. Luke chapter 18, verse 40. So Jesus stood still and commanded this man that had been brought to his attention to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, verse 41, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, who said this? Who asked this question?
Jesus.
Now, we just need to stop on that just for a little bit there. This was a man that did not deserve anything. He got his blindness legally. You know what I mean by that? I mean, it wasn't accidentally. He deserved the blindness, is what I'm trying to tell you. By all physical reports, he had earned his blindness. That's why I don't like for people to say, "my blind," or my diabetes," or "my cancer," or "my what." Why, who gave it to you?
Right.
Did you earn it? Most people get paid for what they work for, and then it becomes mine.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You got that?
Yeah, that's true.
All right. What do you want me to do for you? Now, this, by all records, this guy is a sinner. So he really didn't deserve anything. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Why didn't he say, so I receive my sight, my bills are paid, and I preach the gospel around the world, and I drive around in my own jet, and blah, 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 just go for 30 minutes. I don't know why, because that's what was on his heart. My challenge to you is, let's be careful about what we ask for. We might just get it.
Amen.
Just get it. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Now, I guess that only applies to blindness, right? Jesus didn't say, let me go in my lab and concoct some sight.
That's right.
He said, receive your sight. Now, see, what the word is trying to tell us here, blindness doesn't belong to me, sight does.
Right.
Poverty doesn't belong to me, sight does.
Right.
I mean, health does.
Yeah.
Poverty does not.
That's right.
That's somebody else's a plan for my life.
That's right.
Boldness is God's plan for me,
right.
Not timidity.
Right.
Talent beyond what I could dream belongs to me.
Amen.
Jesus is saying, why don't you just receive it? I have all your bills paid. Why don't you just receive it?
Amen.
Yeah. I have all the energy you need. Just receive it.
Amen.
And immediately he received his sight. Isn't it cool that Jesus didn't say he was healed? He said he received his sight. And followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God.
Amen.
They didn't say, attaboy for your strong faith. All right, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If we don't get anything else out of this message today, receive your whatever.
Amen.
Learn to ask for it, and the answer is going to be, then receive it. Okay, I receive it.
Amen.
Then you praise God. And you cause other people to praise God through your testimony.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. I thought I walked by my feet. But the Bible tells me that I walk by faith. What that also tells me is my legs work because I believe they work.
That's right. Come on.
They're going to keep working because I'm believing they're going to keep working.
That's right.
Yeah. We are confident yet, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let me say it in regular English. If you ain't here, you're there.
Right.
If you're not here, you're with God. And probably there's 43 exclusions below that. So then our command is, then receive that.
Amen.
Every promise that we have read, every promise that we will believe or see, we are going to receive that promise.
Amen.
And we're going to be able to, we're going to be, in, by the Spirit of God, we are going to be asking God, give me my sight.
Amen.
I receive my sight.
Yes.
I got a problem that I don't know how to deal with. I receive the vision of how to do that. But I don't feel so good. Well, what you need to do is receive the vision of the feel good.
That's right.
Yeah. I need to learn what to ask for. And I need to know the response is, then receive it.
Amen.
Yeah. I'll say it another way. We spend way too much time asking for one little answer when we don't... It's kind of like praying for a car to get me to church, but not praying to get home or anywhere else. Right? It's kind of like praying to God for one more meal and then I die. When are we going to learn that God doesn't want us to ask for momentary things? Amen. He wants to ask. He wants us to ask for eternal things.
Amen.
What's an eternal thing? That I walk in eternal health?
That's right.
That I have eternal wisdom?
Yes.
Not just for this one situation, but for whatever comes. That I have eternal praise for Him?
Amen.
Because that's what I'm facing anyway. Yes. Because when I'm absent here, I'm going to be in the presence of God praising for eternity.
Right.
Why don't I ask for it now? I want eternal sight.
Yes.
I want eternal provisions. Do you know we're going to have provisions when we get to heaven?
That's right.
I can't explain what that's about, but I know we're going to need provisions. And if I can't learn to receive them here, how am I going to learn to receive them there? Am I going to start a new thing in heaven where heaven's not really heaven anymore? It has to go through my filter?
No.
I hope not, because I don't want to go through that. I want to receive it the way it's been given to me. Here's what we have. I'm going to give you some truth. Anybody here believe we have a Trinity?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we established that we have a Trinity. Believers have Trinity. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. We have God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way you understand it?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's always perplexed me that God didn't call it a quad. Because He wanted me to be a part of it. And it's like the Bible presents this picture that the Trinity's not complete until I'm a part of it. Hey, I didn't hear an amen once in that. Why not? That's the way the Bible is presented. Well, as I think about it, it's the Trinity because once I am in Christ Jesus, Jesus doesn't change. I just am assimilated.
Amen.
I disappear in Him, so it's still the Trinity, right?
Right.
Okay. Understanding for me. We have a God. We've already read this morning that He made everything.
Yes.
I can take you through the Scripture and show you that He knew you before the foundations of the earth, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Knows the hairs, the number of hairs on your head.
Yes.
He directs your path.
Come on.
Moves your feet and places them where they're supposed to be.
He
knew that you were going to be a no-good, dirty, rotten sinner when He saved you.
That's right.
You just needed to receive the salvation.
Amen.
Isn't that what we just saw?
Yes.
That you could not earn it.
That's right.
You couldn't buy it. All of this is shown in the Word.
Right.
Couldn't buy it. If you can't earn it, I don't care how good you are, you're not going to get it. I don't care how rich you are, you can't buy it.
That's right.
Right? And by the way, I don't care how lowly, big a worm you are, you're still not worthy.
That's right.
No matter how it's presented to you. God has decided that He wants to be your Father despite all of those things.
Amen.
Amen?
That's right.
We always talk about Jesus being the free gift, but God is the free gift.
Amen.
He says in His Word, I want to be your Father.
Hallelujah.
Ready to receive that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you betcha. All right. I want to make you my son, daughter. You ready to receive that?
Yes,
oh, yeah. Well, now, here's the tricky part. You still can't earn it. It's a gift. But the way you earn it, if we got to put a word to it, is that it's called obedience. You just do what I ask you to do, which, by the way, it's easy and light what I'll ask you to do. Isn't that what He says?
That's right.
And the minute you accomplish that, I'll make you there.
Right.
He doesn't say when you get to heaven you'll be an heir.
That's right.
He said, I'll make you an heir. What does that mean? That means I can't run his bank account out. I can't sell off all of his land.
That's right.
I can't screw it up by making mistakes.
Nope.
Because it's not mine. I'm an heir to it.
That's right.
When my parents passed away, I inherited some things. So I know what an heirship means. And I know that I can get paid for things that I didn't earn.
Amen.
I just confessed one of them to you. Strangest part is they never earned that. In one check, I earned more than they earned in their entire lifetime. I don't understand that, so I won't take it. See, our understanding doesn't make these things happen. Our receiving makes them happen.
Yeah.
Right? All right. At the beginning, let's just clear the air. Before the foundations of the earth, if this is the earth, where it's our life or the entire life of the earth, before the foundations of the earth, He planned the victory.
Amen. Yep.
You got it.
Right?
Yep.
I didn't see this, and I haven't so far seen this, but I think I'll spend it anyway. I think I'll just receive it. Well, how can I do that? Because I believe He did this.
Amen.
I believe He planned my life and my victory before this is ever going to happen. And therefore, I can live it, work it, spend it, use it before. Hey, are you going to need anything over here?
No, sir.
What bills are you going to have in heaven?
Zero.
What sicknesses are you going to have?
Zero.
What stumped toes, pains, all the mistakes? Are you even going to make a mistake in heaven?
Zero.
See, I don't understand that, but I receive it.
Amen.
I can't ever see you not making a mistake in heaven, but I can see heaven not without mistakes, so it must happen.
Right.
Now, if I don't need what comes with inheritance here, but I need it here, and God planned here and all the way to here, then I must be getting it here.
Amen. Yeah. Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Either that or God is screwed up. And He's not screwed up.
That's right.
Never has been. Never. I've been screwed up a couple times, but He never has.
That's right.
He, the Father, a gift to us, one that loves us more than life itself, our life. Mm-hmm. We're to be in the same place, right? He's planned everything for and to the victory. He guarantees success now and forever.
Amen.
Success does not just have to do with finances.
That's right.
It has to do with everything that touches your life.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. He provides order in perceived chaos.
Right.
We need to be not foolish, or we need to be away from foolishness. Foolishness would deny chaos when you're dripping from it. But wisdom says, but you ain't seen nothing yet.
Right.
You think you see. God, and this is another story in the Bible, remember. God, could you make this person that sees chaos see the real victory?
Amen.
Show him how many of us there are compared to how many of them there are.
Amen.
And his eyes were open, he received his sight, and he saw legions against companies.
Amen.
Right? Not here, but here. I don't need His miracles in heaven. I need Him here.
Right.
I don't need His provision in heaven. It's done. It's finished. I need Him here.
Amen.
Now I can wait till, and this is the culture of the church. I can wait to heaven to receive Him.
Sure.
And the whole time God is saying, why? All you have to do is ask to receive your sight.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Come on. That's all we have to do. And I'll give it to you right now.
Yes.
And just for your case, and I'm not going to make any more promises than this, God would say, when you get to heaven, it's going to be a whole lot better than this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it good for you now. But just wait till we get there.
Oh, yeah. Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's our God the Father.
Amen.
First part of the Trinity.
Amen.
That's not that evidently wasn't enough for God. See, we get all excited and say, that's enough, God. And He says, nuh-uh. See, the Trinity shows us that what we decide is enough is not enough.
Right.
It's much more. So Jesus, the fulfillment of God the Father's plan for us.
That's right.
Not out of our need, but out of His want.
That's right.
Jesus the Savior shows up by God's plan. Through that plan, we are saved from all destruction.
Amen.
You got that? Please, if you've got anything in your mind right now that doesn't fit inside of that all, erase it. Because we were saved from all destruction. We are redeemed from all harm and evil. And the rewards of harm and evil. We were redeemed and saved from all sin, all guilt, all history of failure. It's totally removed and cast as far as the east is from the west. Now, I don't know if you know what that means, but that means you start east, and you'll never stop going east. You'll never find the west.
That's right.
So it can't be found again.
That's right.
We are restored in God's likeness and image. Anybody calls me ugly, they're bucking God. I'm restored in God's likeness and image, seated in high, healthy, prosperous, and sure places.
Amen.
Because I believe in the Trinity, I believe in getting in there.
That's right.
All damage and theft and failure has been restored.
Amen.
So just receive it.
Amen.
Just receive that. It's not enough to say amen. All damage, all theft, all failure has been restored. Now, Jesus, if he were standing here, he'd say, now receive that. Then nothing else can take the place of the truth, right?
Nothing.
All right. That wasn't enough. Oh, God, that has to be enough. That's more than I handle now. It's not enough. Then there's the Holy Spirit. This is three times the blessing.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, the Comforter, our surety. Do you understand the Holy Spirit is our surety?
Yes, right.
What does that mean?
Guaranteed.
A guarantee. How am I guaranteed? Because in my thick-headed stubbornness, he's in my ear whispering,
right.
What's right? Believe this. Don't go that way. Go that way.
That's right.
Don't believe this. Believe the truth.
That's right.
Wasn't enough for God to be it, Jesus to explain it. The Holy Spirit insists on it.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
He's the revealer of God's plan. And we are the revelers in God's plan.
Yeah.
He leads us. He guides us. The Bible says he speaks to us in small voice.
That's right.
Why small voice? Because we must want to hear.
Right.
We got to want to hear.
Amen.
He's a light in any darkness that comes our way.
Amen.
He gives us instructions on how to drive out the darkness. One is pure praise, right?
Yes, right.
He's a constant evidence of the promise and realness of God and His promise and His realness.
Amen.
He's a reminder. I'm going to say it again. We got it made.
Amen.
Man, I'm going to get, if I stay in this vein, I'm going to get to the point where I get real rude with any complaining. You're not going to like what I tell you. I need to learn not to be that. Open my eyes to some grace and mercy. Not to me, though. Do you understand I need to stop giving me grace and mercy?
That's right.
Amen.
I need to get out of giving me grace and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be ruthless on me.
Yes, that's right.
Speak the truth. If we believe what God has spoken to us through word, we have no worries or fears. And when those worries and fears manage to creep in, now we're putting legs to this belief, right? When worries and fears manage to creep in, we tell the creep to leave.
That's right. Yes. Amen.
Remember that. When those things creep in, we need to tell the creep to leave.
Amen.
And begin to praise God for the work that has already been completed and that I remain in. I receive it, in other words. It's already finished. There's nothing. God, listen in your prayer life. Listen to me carefully. Don't ask God to get up and do a work for you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
He said it was finished.
That's right.
Then Jesus said, all you got to do is receive it.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit reiterates that over and over and over.
Amen.
As you and I look back, if you want to really learn how to praise, look back at a victory. Because I'll guarantee you that victory that you won, you probably didn't deserve.
Yeah.
But you got it anyway, right?
Yeah, that's right?
So now we need to look back at that to encourage ourselves in the next step. I am saved. I am healed. And I cannot deny the fact that God is on my side. Uh-oh. Now, I know how things work. I wasn't born yet last night. I know that any time you step out on faith, the enemy's going to come and tell you 10,000 reasons why you can't get it.
Right.
Mostly because you don't deserve it. Well, why don't we just get smart enough to understand we don't deserve it?
Right.
It's called a free gift of God.
Amen.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If I can spend that check that I got without working for it, then you can spend this check I'm giving you this morning without working for it.
Amen.
Think about what God has already done in your life. If it's just now salvation, you're just born again, spend your time praising Him for that.
Amen.
Then the next problem that comes up, don't forsake Him because He's not forsaken you.
That's right.
I cannot deny that the fact that God is on my side.
Amen. That's right.
I cannot question God. I know He's on my side.
Amen.
And I found out that there's nothing bigger than God. So who cares if somebody's against me?
That's right.
Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. I got to hurry or we're not going to beat 12. Genesis 50, verse 20. And you can always read above and below if you want to qualify any of this. I try to use the shortest version as I can. Genesis 50, verse 20 through 21. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. What is this all about?
Saving.
Up until now, we've been talking about it being about me.
About saving many people alive.
If we don't understand that the blessing of God is for God, we'll get selfish. There's nothing more worthless than a sick doctor.
That's right.
There's nothing more worthless than a broke banker.
That's right.
And there's nothing more worthless than a Christian without a testimony.
Amen.
You haven't got anything. I'm telling you, from the first day God touches your heart, you have a testimony.
Right.
You cannot begin with insufficient funds.
Amen. Right.
The minute you start with God, you've been filled with a gift that's priceless.
Amen.
It's beyond measure. And you have a testimony.
Yes.
And from that point, God will help you have more testimonies.
Amen.
What is the testimony about? You just said it. It is to, in order to bring it about at this day, to save many people alive.
Yes. Right.
Anything God does is for His kingdom.
Yes.
Right.
And I get the joy and pleasure of using the unearned income.
Amen.
Yes. Verse 21. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And He comforted them and spoke kindly to them. I did this for you and your little ones. My little ones. That is His prophet in the kingdom. That's what the Bible says is God's prophet, His souls. He's not interested in money. He doesn't care how much you have or you don't have. Except He knows that it's very difficult for you to influence people broke, busted, and disgusted.
Come on.
So I need to receive what God has for me to be able to save many alive.
Amen.
All right, Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4. You know what always amazes me when I ask God what you need and He gives me things I've never heard of before? I bring you scriptures often that I've never read before. Or I've read them. I covered the territory, but they've never made any punch in me, you know? Never heard. I never in my life have looked at that scripture like didn't receive it as being much more than just healing a blind man.
That's right.
And yet, I'm spiritually blind in many cases. Mm-hmm. And I pray, and Jesus says, why don't you just receive it?
Amen.
You need your bills paid? Why don't you just receive it? You need a better job? Receive it.
Mm-hmm.
You need peace that passes understanding? Receive it. It's not enough for me to tell you that everything's been taken care of if I don't tell you that Jesus said, just receive it.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you to fight for you. Two things. One goes with me. And then He says He fights for me. I think that means I'll have to fight a little, but mostly what I'm going to be doing is watch Him win. And if I already know He never loses and He's fighting on my behalf, then I have proof again that I win everything.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And this, the whole purpose, the rest of that verse is to save you.
Hallelujah.
It's amazing to me that God, the Savior of the universe, the Creator of the universe, fights for me to save me.
That's right.
But here I am, walking in the Trinity, God doesn't come down and fight for me. He sends the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Because he said he's resting. But it's God's plan. That's how come it's fighting for me. It is the plan of God from everlasting to everlasting.
Amen.
If you don't know that, that's chronological. Everlasting is to everlasting is chronological to you and I. Even if it says everlasting, everlasting, it means beginning to end. Even though God doesn't know those words, we have to go by something. All right. 2 Samuel 22. Now, this scripture applies to fat people, skinny people, old people, young people. All people. 2 Samuel 22, if you receive it. Verse 29. It says, "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him." Now, let's reverse it. If you trust him, you'll know that the word is proven. You can leap over any obstacle, and you can run against any size of fence. And win, because we just read that God fights for us, and he never loses. You understand, God never loses a battle? All right. Romans 8. You all know about Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. "But Stan, what about all of these things that I keep running into?" What's just that playoff game where there's nobody to play because I've already won? Romans 8:31. "What then shall we say to these things that come up against us?" Here's what I'll say. I got it. The Holy Spirit gave it to me. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There's a difference between giving and receiving. We first have to get in our peanut brains that he has given us all things so we'll know how to receive all things.
Come on.
Come on. First one, then the other. Let's practice it.
Yes, sir.
"Who shall bring a charge against God's elect?"
No.
It is God who justifies,
amen,
not you.
Right.
"Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us forever." That means when I need a lawyer, I got one. When I need an intercessor, I got one. When I need an advocate, I got one. Verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, nakedness?" Well, there goes that out, isn't it? I can't be tempted by nakedness. Or peril or sword. "As it is written," that means you guys say, "For your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter." But I'm going to tell you in verse 37, "Yet, in all things, we are more than conquerors." You can whine and moan and all you want to, but I'm not going there. I'm saying we're more than conquerors through him who loved us already and always will. "For I'm persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, the plan of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Amen.
All you have to do is receive it.
That's right.
We'll finish it. All you have to do is receive it. All right. Tell them what you said. Say it. Say it again. Let's review. Number one, we have testimonies of victories. Anybody here got a testimony?
Yes, sir.
If you don't, I'll fill up the next hour with mine. Everybody here. I'm born again.
Yeah.
I'm saved.
Yeah.
I'm healed. I'm provided for.
Yeah.
I'm in the process of being healed. I'm in the process of being raised up. I don't care what your testimony is, you have one.
That's
number one. You have testimonies of victories. And if yours are not strong enough to get you over the hump, then find somebody and listen to theirs.
That's right.
Number two, we have promises of game victories, playoff victories, and a final victory.
Amen.
Settled. Verse 3. We have a God. We have a Father that has caused us to be victorious.
Hallelujah.
A Father we did not work for, we did not earn or deserve, but loves us more than we love ourselves. And I was reminded this morning that this is my Father's birthday. Do you know that?
Yes, sir.
January the 22nd. He adopted us, called us His sons and daughters, and caused us to be heirs of all. If we will only believe. How can you not believe?
Yeah.
Have I presented a fairly good case for you this morning?
Yes, sir.
If there are any ways that you can deny that, please tell me now and we'll attack it again.
That's right.
I've done a good job. I'm a good lawyer. How do I know? God says so.
That's right.
Number four. We have a salvation that is sure and cannot be stolen through Jesus. A salvation that covers all sicknesses, all disease, and I'm quoting Scripture to you, and all enemies, past, present, and future.
Amen.
He's one that sticks closer than anybody that we've ever met. We reside in Him. He is the Word. We do not deserve, but Jesus was freely given to us.
Yes.
Number five. We have the abiding presence of God by the Holy Spirit. He never leaves, never forsakes, never fails. Always directing our paths to victory and power. You understand that God, if we are really wanting to be in God's likeness and image, then the more we get into Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, the more we will be powerful like God is powerful. That means firm. We are not moved. We walk in rest and not in worry and turmoil. I'm about to lose my breath. Always directing our paths to victory and power. A gift from God through Jesus that we do not deserve, but we have. A surety, a guarantee of the fact that God loves, God cares, now and forever.
Amen.
Everybody talks about retirement. That's when you don't have to work anymore, but you get money anyway. That's what I entered when I entered in salvation. God tells me, don't work anymore and I'll provide. Now, I don't mean physical work. I'm talking about the spiritual things. Don't work at it. Just receive it. I'll give it to you.
Amen.
How much more do we need? Anybody, can you think of anything I left out? Because we'll hit it again. We are more than the enemy. We are more than the threat. No weapon or enemy can win against us. We are assured of all victories. We are destined to spend eternity with this loving God. We are winners.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Nope, I didn't make it. I tried. Oh, man. I think that clock's wrong. I don't receive that. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I tell you what.
Thank you, Lord.
I've met good people, but never as good as God.
Amen.
I've run into good blessings, but never the blessing of God.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to seeing such miraculous things. Now listen to me, that it blows me away.
Amen.
Because I'm looking here and everybody I see here needs to be blown away. I don't like you. I've heard some of the things you say, I don't like you. And I know you've heard some of the things I say, so it's all right not to like me. I want me and you to be blown away.
Amen.
And I want the only thing left to be the fact of everlasting to everlasting means in the middle I'm a winner. And I proved it to you this morning.
Yes, sir.
You have no leg to stand on. Now, I don't know if God's this way or not. I don't think so. I think that's why He delegated first Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Because I think I'm enough like God to know that I'm not going to tell you again.
Amen.
If I've completed this course is finished. Jesus, the advocate, says, they're not that bright. I spent some time with them. They're going to need some help. So he says, okay, I'll pay the price, and I'm going to get out of here, and Holy Spirit, you do it. Holy Spirit's never once gotten tired. Not one time in the Bible can I find any place where the Holy Spirit got tired. I think that's why God warns us about blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, because He so respects the Holy Spirit, because He will not give up on us. Did I say he will not give up on us?
Right.
So we're going to take courage that he's not giving up on us, right?
Right?
Therefore, we stand in the presence of God via the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? And when God gets angry, did God ever get angry in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Have you seen that kind of anger come forth in the New Testament?
No.
Never seen him tell civilizations to be wiped out.
No.
Don't even take their stuff. It's nasty. In the New Testament, he's got the Holy Spirit and Jesus fighting for us. Not against him, but against... Listen, I'll say this the best I know how. God is so righteous that his fire, his righteous fire, destroys evil without the buffer of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing what I said?
Yes, sir.
But the Holy Spirit and Jesus are an outflow of God's love for us. Well, did you understand what I said? And don't say yes if you didn't. No, you didn't understand. Okay, that's good. I said God is a righteous God. God is a jealous God. God can get mad. The Old Testament tells us who God is. If there's any sin, he requires death.
That's right.
And the only way you could keep civilization alive was to require the death of perfect animals. And yet that didn't help right here in God's heart of heart. It's kind of like you preaching to somebody and they don't listen. That's kind of the way God feels. And so his righteous anger, his righteous indignation, many times destroyed, in one case, all of civilization. And I'm not going to be sacrilegious here, but I remember one time in the flood, he didn't say whoops, but he said, I won't do it again. Now, y'all think about that just a little bit. He did what was right. God never does anything wrong. But then he said, I won't do that again.
Yeah.
Instead, he flooded the world with the blood of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Why? Because now, God, who cannot even look upon sin, can now look at the blood instead of sin.
Right.
You got it? Now, his anger doesn't rise. He doesn't become jealous. He sees a totally selfless act from Jesus Christ. And when something other than sweet savor comes up to the nostrils of God, Jesus, our advocate, says, you didn't live with them, I did. Let me explain a couple of things. Just because they didn't obey you don't mean they don't love you. Come on, let that soak in. Just because they missed the mark doesn't mean they didn't love you. It just means they're really not up to your standards yet, God. Remember, God, Jesus saying this to the Father. Remember, you said that your ways are higher than theirs. Remember that, Father? Remember that? We were in the house the other day, and Rob's been a year in the military dealing with soldiers. And I don't know exactly what he did, but he came to us and he said, I need to remember they're not soldiers. Talking about his two little girls. I need to remember they're not soldiers. Jesus, our Savior, reminds the Father that we're not totally righteous soldiers. But we're on our way. Remember your plan, God? Why are we supposed to remind God of his word? Because of what Jesus does. The Holy Spirit says, that'll only work a little bit. You better change some things. You got by with that once, maybe twice. Don't keep trying it. Because I can only defend you so many times. And here's some word to help. Here's some meat to help. Here's a touch that'll help. Here's some revelation that'll help. But bottom line is, you, me, and all of us have to please the Father. Come on, this is reality we're talking about here. This is putting feet to things. Listen. If I never met the Father and I never met Jesus, just my experience with the Holy Spirit should be enough.
That's right.
But I got all three.
Yeah.
And that's tremendously, way beyond more than I need.
Right.
More than I can even think or ask.
Yeah.
And if I can receive that blessing, then I need to grow up and receive the rest of the blessings that God has for me. I told you it was good, didn't I? I warned you. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Lord, I thank you that I'm looking at a bunch of people that are saved, healed, and delivered.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And they have no excuse for not giving you praise.
Yes.
That no weapon that they've been threatened with or hindered by is this comes close to the blessing that you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And those thorns in the flesh, those things that have been bothering us, whether it's what we think people think about us or the lack of finances or some pain or disease, whatever it is, we cast that back to hell whence it came. And in its stead, as the blind man gave up his blindness and received sight, we give up our flesh and receive spirit now. We give up that short-sightedness and receive the eternal promise. In Jesus' name. Anybody here need any prayer? Are all hearts clear? One more time. All hearts clear. Do we need to pray about something? Please, if I've said something that might offend you, you need prayer. Because I didn't mean to offend you. Don't blame me. Let's pray. When God wrote His Word, He never intended to offend anybody. He intended to give them a formula to produce life in that more abundantly. And I am in the image of Christ Jesus. I don't intend to offend. But if there's sin, I want to be an offense to that sin. If it's a sin of unbelief, I want to be offense to it. I want to offend you. I want to bring you, by the Holy Spirit, your conscience to its knees. Praise you, Lord. Don't be in bondage in your own mind. Your mind is the only thing that separates you from Christ Jesus. Let God heal your mind and encourage you in your mind. Praise you, Lord. Let God do that mighty work right now in you. There's no reason to leave discouraged in any way.
Amen.
And they were free. They were free when they believed God more than their jail around them. So we bless His name. I say it again. I bless your name, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I can never give you the honor you deserve, but I want to spend my life doing that. I give you praise, Lord. I'm in your hands. You're not the life. You're my life. You're my truth, and you're my way. I choose it that way. I receive life, truth, and way from you. And to seal a deal, I bless your name, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. I have no worries. Praise you, Jesus. Here's the other report. You will have your midnight hours. And because you allow those thoughts to stand, you become a prisoner of your own mind. You want them broken? Praise. Defy that thought. Defy that threat. Defy that fear and those chains. And they will go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We bless you. We crown you King and Lord and Savior and Master. We crown you as the answer to every problem. We crown you as our peace. We understand that it passes our understanding. That's why we do it. Praise you, Lord. And when things tell me I can't, I say I can in Jesus' name. When they tell me that I'm not free, I say I'm free in Jesus' name. You're my life. You're my truth. You're my way. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I don't bless any other name. I don't honor any other name. Only yours, Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand with me just for a moment. Say with me, you are my life.
My life.
You're my truth.
My truth.
and you're my way. And I have already won. Now we bless your name. Hallelujah. And we will do that forever.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this message today. I thank you that I heard you. Hallelujah. I thank you that I heard you. And I'm going to receive my sight. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
I'll never look at things the same. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we do bless your name right now.
Yes.
And I've asked before the service, and we agreed that we would not leave here changed. And we know that you've accomplished that.
Yes.
We receive your word. We receive your faith. We receive your boldness as we receive the healing and the provisions.
Yes.
Whatever ministry, whatever, let's don't get caught up in words, whatever thing you want us to do, we'll do.
Yes.
Let us cause many to be alive.
Yes.
And saved.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. We want to honor you not with just our words, but our actions.
Yes.
So cause us to have testimonies.
Yes.
Cause us to testify and cause us to bring others into the kingdom.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.